Senator, this is your sixth stop, as far as I can recollect, in Syracuse on the campaign trail. I did a little researching into our files to see how many times you've made a stop in Syracuse when you weren't campaigning during your term. And during that term, you've, from what I can tell, you've been here three times. In 1975 for Syracuse University commencement, a building dedication at Krause Irving Memorial in 77, and a stop here in 1979 in August. Given that, you're here today to show your concern for Syracuse, but you've only been here, as far as I can tell, three times. It might reflect on our ability to gather news, I grant you, but it doesn't appear that you've been here very often.
I think you're very kind to say, as far as I can tell. I have fellows who are more extreme than you. They say in Gloversville, New York, they haven't seen me on the main street for a considerable time, as if they hibernate on the main street of Gloversville to wait for me to come along. I've been here much more often than three times. But even if I were not, where is my post of duty? And what am I doing with my time? Seen at discos and nightclubs and fancy restaurants? Or have I got a reputation with every senator in the United States Senate for being perhaps the, certainly one of the hardest workers? My people ought to cheer and applaud if I'm doing the job that they gave me and the Lord equipped me to do. That's the real answer to your
question. The question that I have is, with that many appearances, how can you have a real feel for the concerns of the people, not just the the community leaders, but the on the streets?
I'll happily answer that. The feelings of the people on the streets of Syracuse are very much the same as the feelings on the streets of other cities in New York. New York City, Buffalo, Rochester, Syracuse, Albany, you name it. That's the feeling of the people. And I don't have to sit in my office alone. There are plenty of people from Syracuse who come to me. We read the Syracuse press, and everything is called to my attention. And when there was an Andreoli probe here that got into people's hair, I heard about it awful fast. You'll agree on that. You didn't mention that. And was very prominently identified with what happened. So I hope that you will understand, therefore, that this is a big state, and that if I'm going to do what the people want me to do, I've got to be there attending to business. I'll come as often as I humanly can, but I do not believe it serves the interests of my state for me to make a record of being here and there and everywhere, attending everything and neglecting the business that they've sent me for to Washington, and that's earned me the kind of a reputation which I've made as their senator. I also am very, very pleased to acknowledge the presence here of the representatives of the Central Labor Council of Syracuse. The labor people have been very good to me and very strong behind me, and the United Auto Workers. And I want to thank them personally for their great help to me in respect of the primary campaign. Thanks, Mel, for coming, and thank you all very much. Governor Malcolm Wilson, a dear, honored friend and a great New York Republican. And here on my right, Judge Louis Lefkowitz, who you know succeeded me as Attorney General, also a wonderful Republican,
great servant of the people of the state. Constance Cook, former assemblywoman and vice chairman of my citizens committee in the campaign. Al Marshall, who is the chairman of my campaign committee, and John Trubin, my campaign manager. I will try today to, wherever I stop, sum up the issues, and I'd like to sum them up now very briefly. I think the issues are, one, who can do the best job for this state in terms of the issues which face the state, the nation, and the world, because peace is also important to us, critical. And I have offered to the people of New York my experience, my seniority, in which they have kept me for 24 years, my ability to get things done, federal aid, which is indispensable to the state and the city, and the nation in terms of inflation and unemployment. Seniority has put me, because the people have kept me in office in all these years, longer than any senator in the history of the state, to keep the peace of the world, which is going to take a lot of judgment, a lot of strength of character, and a lot of discretion in the kind of weapons systems we pick, and in the relationships with the Soviet Union, the People's Republic of China, and many, many others. In the world. It is on that which I based my campaign. I have a zest for the job. I have every confidence that I can do the job and do it well for the next 6 years. And I hope very much, therefore, that the people will support me in this primary, which comes tomorrow. Any questions?
Senator, just this morning, the latest of what are several polls have come out showing that your lead over Al D'Amato has dropped from something like 28 points a month or two ago to about 7 points as of the day before the election. Wonder how much credence you put in that poll, and do you think perhaps it does have some validity as the race tightens up?
I believe in examining everything, and I always run scared. I mentioned the other day that I was even scared when I took my finals in public school. So this is nothing new to me. 7 percentage points, which is not 7%, but percentage points over my opponent, I think is a decent lead. I said myself, when the primary campaign began, that it was going to be a fight. A Republican primary is a fight, as far as I'm concerned. But I believe I have every reason to be gratified. But notwithstanding all the attacks, and remember, I have cast 10,000 votes in the Senate alone, let alone my votes in the House of Representatives. I believe that on that record, if that's the way in which the polls finally end up, I think that's pretty good for me.
Senator,
and I have every confidence that the people of the state of New York will give me the opportunity again to run on the Republican ticket.
Senator, this has been a first for you. How would you characterize this first primary?
Very interesting, and I think that it served to some extent to bring out the issues. I regret that more was not done on the issues, which is a great opportunity. Somewhat missed, I tried to concentrate on it. And I'm sorry that it had to get into, a certain extent, the personality, but after all, we're men and women. And I believe that it's also an issue as to the character and the integrity of the individual. I know how critical that is and how decisive in the Senate of the United States. It's not for nothing that 9 senators with me, a tenth of the Senate, came up here to campaign for me, because the senators of my party without regard to conservative or moderate, want me back in the Senate and feel I'm an essential component. Certainly, the testimony of Barry Goldwater as to that ought to be eloquent to New York Republicans.
Senator, do you think this was a dirty campaign?
Oh, I'm too experienced to go into those characterizations. I felt that some of it was pretty low level, but that's life, and let's go on and get the vote tomorrow.
Senator, traveling around the state with all these Republican leaders, is this your way of showing the people that you are the real Republican, which Mr. D'Amato claims he is?
Well, I think this is rhetoric. A Republican first has to win, and I believe I can win. Perhaps I'm the only one who could win of the two of us who are running. And secondly, a Republican must believe in the fundamental tenets of the party, respecting individual initiative and individual opportunity, and a reliance, heavy reliance, upon the business system of the country. And I have, I think, amassed a great reputation on the basis of my knowledge of and ability to deal with the business system of America. They talked with me about the fact that they were very likely to choose John Anderson, or at least they were seriously considering it. But I really have nothing to say about that. I have no commitment to Mr. Anderson or to the Liberal Party as to the presidency. And I repeat what I've said so many times before, I will vote for Ronald Reagan.
Did you at any time urge him not to endorse Mr. Anderson?
That question could go on ad infinitum. I have no comment or criticism or approval or anything to do whatever with the choice by the Liberal Party of John Anderson to be their president. I think the New Yorkers have shown their independence on many occasions. I remember that in 1950, they elected Dewey for governor, Lehman for the Senate, and Impellitteri for mayor. So I think they can be relied on to find my name if they want to find it.
Thank you very much, sir.
Etc. I think it was very exhaustive. I think as far as the debates are concerned, they certainly dealt with the subjects which have been the elements of this campaign.
So as far as you're concerned, there were enough debates that you did confront the issues with Mr. D'Amato?
I feel that I confronted all the issues that were possible, considering Mr. D'Amato's efforts to make the issue my age and my health, rather than the issues before the state and the country. And due to the fact that we're somewhat delayed in departure, Governor Wilson is here and will make a statement that you'd be kind enough to stand by.
I'm going upstate with Jack Javits today as a further indication of my total support of his candidacy. First, because of what he means to New York State. In all the years I was lieutenant governor, and one year I was governor, I worked with Jack in the interest of the people. Especially in 1974, when it was evident that in order to maintain the subway and bus fares in New York City, the bus fares in upstate, we had to have federal operating aid. I spoke to Jack earlier in the year. He introduced the bill at Senate 386. And he got that bill through the Senate and it passed the House. And then for the first time in history, we have had, and ever since then, operating aid, $200 million for New York State. I want to tell my Republican friends as I go upstate what sort of a Republican Jack is. This is a Republican primary, and his Republicanism has been challenged by his opponent. He was elected Attorney General in 1954. He beat Franklin D. Roosevelt, Jr. He was the only Republican elected that year. statewide. In 1956, he was elected to the Senate. Now, had he taken the oath of office as Senate in January of 1957, Governor Harriman would have appointed his successor. Instead of that, Jack, although he had to sacrifice seniority to do it, remained the Attorney General until January of 1957 to give the Republican legislature the opportunity to choose his successor, and they chose Louis Lefkowitz. So he's a Republican, but which is more important, he is a great public servant for all the people.
I just want to add to what Governor Wilson said. I served for 22 years, as you all know, as Attorney General. We had a good deal of legislation affecting New York City and New York State. I constantly called out Senator Javits. I not only visited him there, but was in touch with him by mail and otherwise. It was a constant source of help. Furthermore, there are a lot of things that never reached the press had to do with administrative matters. In many of the agencies, the work of this state is hampered somewhat, though we need more cooperation from federal agencies. I'd invariably call on Senator Javits for the introduction to the right officials to help me push certain legislation. I represented the National Association of Attorney Generals throughout the country, and I often was asked to be the spokesman, be in touch with Senator Javits, connection with antitrust legislation, SEC legislation, stock fraud. I always call on him who sponsor bills for me, or go to committee meetings and help me get the bills out. So I want to say that he was invaluable help to me when I served as Attorney General, and what he did for me helped the state of New York as well. Thank you.
Governor Wilson, Judge Lefkowitz, I just announced that we will be joined in Buffalo by Senator Warren Anderson and the minority leader of the state assembly, Jim Emery, and by Controller Ned Reagan. Thank you.
But since they're asking the same question to both, I'm not sure.
No, but they'll modify that.
They'll get that. Yeah.
They'll just sit there and ask questions.
And the gay pressman experience is now a news item, so I don't know that will possibly come up.
Yeah, Senator. I don't know if you heard about the gay pressman incident of yesterday on TV.
Yeah.
Towards the tail end of the debate, Gabe read to the motto, his quote, right after the convention, in which he alleged that we were twisting arms to deny him the endorsement. So Gabe said, isn't it true, Mr. DiMatteo, you come from Nassau County, where it's alleged that Mr. Maggiotti, your county chairman, requires all Republican public job holders to kick back 1%.
And you can still work. You owe that to me. So you don't have to retire at 65.
Yeah, but would you have to retire at 70? Would that remind them that you're 76 and maybe you should
retire?
Well,
at 70, your pension, you know, retirement comes. And you may, if your contract or whatever it is says 70 is the age, then you...
Because I've heard people say, well, if I'm forced to retire at a certain age, why shouldn't Senator Javits be forced to retire? I'm just wondering if that's a wise
option. That's their option.
No, but he makes a good point.
They want to keep me working, well, keep me working. If not,
but if, I'm sure you can find 10 other better ones than that one.
Well, that's a very good one. That's a very good one.
We have the local anti-crime assistance program. That amendment to LEAA, which every community is taking advantage of.
Which says what?
It makes money available to local neighborhood organizations for anti-crime programs, bringing together the police and local residents, and very popular here in the state.
This is a terrific list in here, by the way, of just the kind of thing Marianne's talking about in this letter. What stage is the letter in?
That's it. I mean, that's draft, but if no one...
Begins weekly and gets very good.
All right. By all means.
Let me do that.
I'll go over that too.
Well, keep in mind now that out of this report that Tully sent over to us before your debates, he lists five issues, secondary issues in here, that evidently from his surveying are showing up as concerns after the pocketbook, the inflation.
Right.
And there's crime, Tony, and the need for tax reform. Housing, hospital and medical costs, and the energy shortage. we might as well listen to our survey and put and see if we can put Bill, do your record around those five things.
Well, let's turn that over to Julian right away and get a new television spot. So who's going to do that? We have to have people to do jobs. Who's going to deal with Julian? Okay.
Whatever laws you need or stuff.
Well, I already have the list. Okay. I mean, they
Julian doesn't know the political aspect of which laws to pick, though.
Well, that
I think work let, let Tony will have to get final judgment.
Let Tony look at Tully's thing.
We first
together the five the laws that fit each of the categories.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. That, that list that you're looking at now was basically put together by Jim O'Connell.
Well, are there bills, Senator, that are in progress right now that you sponsored that would fit those any of those five categories? Is there a bill that you have sponsored that perhaps even has failed in the Senate, but which would demonstrate, in fact, that you have fought for something that you think the people of the state of New York want?
Tax reform is one.
And it
hospital
fails because the Democrat majority defeats it. That then does two things. One, they know you're concerned about something they're concerned about, and it points out the fact that you are in the minority and you're not part of the problem, that you're fighting against the majority down there on behalf of them, and that you have been fighting. Your experience comes in because now you know how to fight, and you can win the battle for them if they, in fact, if we have a majority in the Senate. I mean, if then they have a cycle in which it all rings true as they think about it.
Okay. Now, what's happened to this teenage pregnancy?
Something that he has worked to prevent, by the way. Speaking of which, in fact, that's a point that reminded me.
Yeah, he said it before. Teenage pregnancy.
What?
Yes. Steve, someone mentioned before the teenage pregnancy.
Yeah, you've got at least one bill that provides a fair amount of money to New York City and New York State for prevention of teenage pregnancy.
It's a controversial issue out in Nassau.
Is that prior to conception?
Well, it's a controversial issue in Nassau as to whether to have such agencies on the ground that it encourages kids rather than discourages.
But the question you asked is that there are no rules and regulations with respect to age that have any impact locally. And that the practice in Bellevue is not to ask any questions about parental consent.
In a Medicaid case?
In a Medicaid case. In any case.
Of course, it's now prevented by law. So it's academic.
Yeah, but the state of New York is still funding abortions for the poor.
But according to the state, that's state law.
And they've attempted to change it.
Now, question, what about the law on whether a state could regulate and require parental consent? Could regulate it and require parental consent.
I'm going to have to find that out because I was talking to a physician.
What does everybody here think of the policy of requiring parental consent if a child is under 16? It's a tough one, you know.
Very tough.
Kill a child for life. Kill a child for life by having her have a baby out of wedlock. Ruin her life. She's 15 years old, finished. Old woman of 15.
Because she had to get her parents?
No, because her parents won't give consent.
She's too scared to get it.
She had the baby.
82% of the time you voted for Carter, so that makes you a Democrat. You're really not a real Republican, and you haven't ever done anything for New York State because you're always down in Washington.
Okay, there it is in that letter.
And you care more about Israel. That they're doing a very effective job now. It's really almost becoming anti-Semitic upstate. They're after, we've picked all the small counties.
Who's this? Who is this Cy talking?
It's me.
Israel or foreign relations?
I think it's more the foreign relations.
Yeah.
She says Israel.
You think it's just Israel?
You know, you guys can hear what you want to hear where you go. I'm just going to tell you what I hear where I've been. And it's Israel.
Marianne, I have some fresh information on it which nobody has.
Okay.
Just privately commissioned a big poll, national, on the subject of Israel. And to my complete surprise, it's entirely different from what you would think. The country is so worried about Afghanistan, Iran, and the Soviets, that the support for Israel is stronger in the United States than it's ever been. So it is a popular cause rather than an unpopular one. I mean, that surprises the hell out of me. I thought that the support would have been...
I'll tell you, she is absolutely right about the fact that these people will sow any kind of discord, anti-Semitism, anti-anything, to win this. Their objective is to win elections. There's no morality, no honesty, and no truth about it. Now, let's take these things one at a time.
The Kerry thing hurt us, too.
We're floating too much. Listen, let's not get touched off on what hurt us and what didn't. There's a week of the campaign. I haven't lost it yet. And it isn't the night before the primary, so there's still things to do.
I repeat again.
And that's what we're discussing.
And I don't think Marianne's disagreeing with you. You're winning. You got to win more by being who you are.
I will. No question about it. I tell you, my instinct about these debates was so right. I needed none of them.
That's right.
But certainly I needed more than two. And these debates had given him a breath of life which he didn't have before. I expose them. When he's with me, he's prominent. When he's not with me,
that's
a doorknob.
Yeah.
So
but
I'm
you
glad.
You could not have avoided
it. Oh, yes, I could. I could just have said no. But no, wait a minute. Mind you, I'm not saying that I could have avoided them, but I didn't choose to. It's me, not you. I chose to have two debates. I got trapped into a third because of the New York Times, which always wakes up a month late, and it's the New York Times. But I've got to use the New York Times to my advantage. And that's what we're talking about now. So I've got the teenage pregnancy done. Now, where is the teenage pregnancy bill? Is that in here?
Yep. Under JKJ's legislative accomplishments on health, it should be about halfway
in
through.
In this one?
Yeah, yes. Recognizing the great need for improved services in the
area. New York Times. If you talk to the reporters and not to D'Amato, you do better. Talk to the people who are asking you the questions, not to D'Amato.
Right.
Let them
not by
ask you about D'Amato.
There are definitely no cameras in the building at all.
Good. I think that's a very good suggestion.
Genetic.
Now,
they want to beat up on him badly enough.
Well, it's... All right. Now, so I will deal with the practicalities of all I did. Bringing $12 billion a year, annually, into New York from the federal government because of my work. Not all attributable to my work.
You and Monahan,
I worked on every one of these things that produced $12 billion.
Incidentally, I also find strong, Marianne, do you? When he drags Moynihan in as this collaboration between the two New York senators, is that powerful?
Senator Javits?
Yeah.
He does?
Yeah, he does that occasionally.
Well, yes, but that's not a cutting.
No, I didn't mean
cutting,
but it's a plus, isn't it?
But it's all, yes.
Yeah.
But we're in a Republican primary.
Yeah. Right.
And so if I have my druthers, I'd say don't mention them, because
right.
Now you're reminding them that you can work closely with the Democrats.
Right.
Everything we do now is really what we'll do opposite in the general.
Right.
I mean,
right.
That's a strong point for the general election.
Yes.
All right. Well, I've got the picture, and I will sue the details of legislation for which I am responsible, particularly under these five headings, and what I will do from that point
on. That's the key, what I will do. My record proves that I know what I'm doing, and I've got the experience, and this is what I will do for you.
Right. Okay.
If you're about to break up, I just want to say one. I've been in a lot of successions with candidates. Inevitably, we all sit around and tell you what's wrong. You're doing very well.
Well, let's see.
Let's see.
Now, where in the Dear Patriot letter do we have an angle? Has anybody looked over the Dear Patriot letter?
Yeah.
the National Rifle Association, you have only the fact that he is opposed to gun control, including handgun control. Who's got a pencil? No. No, he's got a million pencils. Give me one. They're right here. Thousands of them. Thank you.
Is that the Dear Petro?
Yeah, but this after all is again against him.
Yeah. Let me pick it out.